Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, investors is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training in difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging. Splitting duchess up, strap up, the army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool, got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new, here we
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land, peace, and revolutionary greetings to Africans. My name is Sister Coco, and I'll be host for tonight's show on George Jackson University Radio, where we'll be joined by a special guest and my comrade in struggle, Brother Bumani Uhuru Jihad Shakur, who is a revolutionary nationalist, National Minister of Information for the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. He is a New African propagandist, author, community organizer, and so much more. Before we get to our guest tonight, I would like to highlight some special dates that happened during this week in New African history. On May 13th, the United States in Philadelphia, the Black Nationalist Organization MOVE in Philadelphia was bombed by the Philadelphia Police Department, in which 5 children and 11 MOVE members were killed. The only adult survivor was Ramona Africa, as well as youth survivor, my apologies, as well as the youth survivor as well. As well as in this week, today, we celebrate Haitian Flag Day. On May 18th, Dessalines' goddaughter was able to create and design a new flag, which is a symbol of independence and unity. And on May 18th of 1803, after defeating the French in a long and bloody revolution. Also this week and on this day, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a verdict in Plessy versus Ferguson upholding a law requiring segregation of passengers on railroad cars. This so-called separate but equal law governed much of the South in the violent South, also known as Jim Crow laws of the post-Reconstruction South. All right. So I'm going to bring Comrade Bumani onto the show. Comrade Bumani, I would like to welcome you to the show, Free the Land. It's great to be here sitting tonight with you to discuss your newly published book, The Manifesto of African Psychotherapy. It is to my knowledge that you'll be hosting a book signing in your district, John Henry Clarktown, also known as Columbus, Georgia, tomorrow, May 19th, from 4 to 7 in the embassy. May 19th is also the date that we celebrate Brother Malcolm X, also known as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. If you can first tell the audience a little bit about your book, what inspired you to write this manifesto, and also to host this book signing on the day we celebrate Malcolm X.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for coming. I'd like to thank everybody out listening, all this has been following us. I'd like to thank everybody who is currently educating themselves and whatever they do, and the ones that are working toward land independence. Well, I chose the day of May the 19th because Malcolm X was the first one that really inspired me. I read his book, February 1998. Ever since then, I've been going on continue on the path of resistance, educating myself and building, you know, as a nation builder. So I chose that day as significant debt. Also, I chose it because I'm a conscious New African citizen, and Malcolm X considered the ideological father of New Africa. You know, I chose on that day because of that as well, because as we look at that historically, I'm a child of Malcolm X. I'm also a child of Marcus Garvey, you know, as a New African. So it made me a child of both of them, you know, so historically and ideologically. But my book, was inspired basically because of working with the community, working with people in the area, working with people in different organizations and collectives. And I seen that one of our main issues strongly comes from our mind. The mind deals with everything, especially your ideology, what you do. What you believe in, you know what I'm saying, what you think about certain things, the conversation you engage into, the level of intelligence you have, the mind focuses upon all areas, right? So then I also seen that it wasn't a lot of, it's not a lot of material out there about psychotherapy from the African perspective or the mind from African perspective. You know, people know about certain people like Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Frances Wilson, Dr. Amy Agbus, and the individual, but a lot of the psychological and the social side is overshadowed by the Europeans, right? So that was just one of my, I just made it as a contribution to the people out here, right? And then I also realized that a lot of our problems, we got a solution to them already in our mind. Like, for instance, if we're talking about a food shortage, we can use our mind to create community gardens, use our mind to gain land, to build a farm, and deal with other forms of agriculture and feeding and botany they're going to feed our people, right? If we talk about miseducation, we can use our mind to create a learning center, a community center, Avicenna Home Collective, Avicenna School, so forth and so on. We had the solutions that are to all the problems in our mind, especially when we're in our African mind state. You know, the African people are very communalistic. Our African people are very, they deal with cooperative economics. You want to say Ujima. You know we can pull our resources together and build certain things and feed ourselves. So, you know, and we know also the African people are communalistic, so they believe in the family. They believe in the family structure that they'll utilize to build a village, utilize build a nation, like such as the history of the people want to call the Kikuyu people of Kenya. You know, the history talks about the seven women who met seven men, had seven husbands, had family, moved on, and from them seven women came Kenya as a nation of people. You know, so that's basically inspiration. And also, basically, the main reason I wrote it was I want people, as used as a tool for people to think for themselves. And I yield right now.
All right. Well, I thank you for your, your book and your writing. As you know, personally, I think it's definitely a book that everyone should read, and you know, especially after this interview. You mentioned three new African women in your dedication. Could you tell the audience a little bit about how these women inspired you also to write this manifesto, among many other things?
Well, my mom, she the one that gave birth to me. She the one that went through that ultimate sacrifice for 9 months to push her out to the world to be the individual I am today. You know, so all my contributions are to her for making that sacrifice. You know, she could have aborted me or did anything, but she chose that for me to live and exist to be the individual that I am today, right? So all my due respects are paid to her. She's my mother, you know. And then my grandmother, because she buried my mom, but also because she was the only new African I ever seen in my life to have a personal library, probably 13 or 15, 16,000 books. And I saw these books at a young age, like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. You know, I ain't nothing about them. So she was my inspiration. I wanted to learn anything over the years, and all that. That inspired me just by seeing these books, touching them, smelling them. I would naturally in tune to these things. Yeah. And then Dr. Frances Red Wilson, Dr. Frances Wilson, because I read a book, The Ice Man, 2001, and it basically inspired me to think and want to see more about African social science that were dealing with our issues and trying to create solutions. So I dedicated to those women, also because all of my martyrs, all of my mothers, man, you know, and wisdom started with a woman, you know. The first learners began with a woman, so that's another reason I dedicated to these sisters as well.
Indeed. Much respect to those three women who, you know, inspired you throughout your development and in developing this manifesto as well.
Hold on, before I say one other thing. I actually met Dr. Frances Wilson in 2015. I met her for the first time. Nate said she went to reach her demise.
How was that experience?
Well, you know, the experience was it was a very special experience. You know, the sister was very the same individual I heard on these documentaries, seen on these videos, and you know, she eat well better than that in person, right? you know, the energy that that shit absorbed was like royalty. It was like I was gonna see a real queen, a real empress, you know, a real goddess. That's the way it felt to me, right? But I also recognized that she was really serious about what she was doing. She wasn't playing no games, you know. She was serious about that. It was her life, you know. I seen the dedication and motivation, you know, and all that inspired me. I was like, damn, this was just for real, you know. I mean, a celebrity, you know, it was like a celebrity, like a dream come true for a revolutionary. Any new revolutionary is a dream come true to be Dr. Frances Wilson. You know, she always challenged the system of white supremacy, and that's what we're doing by aiming to free the land, challenging the system. And then to meet the warriors head on, it was magnificent. You know, I only got another word to explain it. You know, it was a beautiful thing.
Oh, I imagine. So now you speak to intelligence in your book as a necessary tool in the development of nation or nation states. Could you tell the audience a little bit about why this would be important when working toward independence of new Africans?
Oh, okay. Well, the first reason it'd be important because we got to use intelligence to understand what a new African is. You know, and New Africa had the base understanding that anybody who born from the descendants of slaves of America that brought him and changed the cycle. That's the basic definition of New Africa. Whereas a country New Africa is the individual that working to free the land. They actually put in the Africa work, applying the concepts, actually believe right here to the ideology, believe to the creed, believe they had taken a New African oath, and they constantly put in work to make this concept live. You know, and so the information, intelligence is important for that, especially when it comes to decision-making, planning, organizing, putting people in position, if it's a cadre, if it's a unit, if it's a collective, if it's a foundation, it's a party, whatever it may be. Intelligence needed for all the particular aspects. And one of the main roles that we have in the organizing collective is a minister of information. Minister of information actually a minister of intelligence. So he or she propagate for most of the intelligence utilized for the particular structure, a foundation, a movement to push the intelligence, to put the ideas, to motivate people, to encourage people, to also recruit, and also the use for information purposes. Regarding people want to learn things about a certain situation, the intelligence utilized for that through the information process. You know, so it's very reason why intelligence is the key. And we all know that any kind of idea starts within our mind. The idea of a book starts in your mind. The idea of a new app starts in your mind. Even the idea of a human being starts in the mind, you know. Even the idea of a particular thought starts in the mind. Because you think about an apple, we see the apple in our mind. But that's a thought that we create, a thought that we created through our intelligence. And then we can see what an apple is because we know what an apple is because we've been taught that through intellectual models. You know, and I hear right now, though.
So if you don't mind, if you can help myself and even an audience, can you please just explain a little bit about what African psychotherapy is and how does it resist this European colonial conditioning that you describe in your book?
Okay. Well, first off, you know, psychotherapy is what people want to term it, talk therapy. And you basically, you receive a therapeutic means, which is basically like you talking to another individual, talking about your problem, they're listening to you, and eventually you're gonna evolve the solutions. Some of the solutions that they prefer are present medicinal when they put you on medicine, or some kind of physical therapy, or some kind of activity, or psychodrama. Whereas we understand that all human beings have mental issues. So then when they categorize as a good mental health, when you mean some kind of treatment or medicinal purposes, and good mental health when you're able to sustain the life with your basic mental issue that you have. And the psychotherapy within the empire, what we call right now America, having utilized on us through a European concept to make us think and act like a European in regard to solving our issues. Well, it's not going to work because we're new African people. So the African psychotherapy is a therapeutic system with an African guilt on the aspect of the African mind state to put you in your African mind state to re-Africanize you, to re-educate you, and to put you back into a way of thinking that can be suitable for your needs in regard to where you are as an African person in the empire right now. So African psychotherapy is a system utilized to put you back in your right place through self-determination. and therefore resistant because I deal with the African psychological mindset with resistant to the mindset of Europeans in regard which people like Dr. Francis Wilson, Dr. Colbert Campbell, and so forth, and many others, aim to do in regard to the work that they put out there. So that basically the basis of it.
Could you tell the audience a little bit about what you perceive to be a European colonial conditioning that happens within our communities when thinking about the destruction and the violence and all of the things that are happening in our communities? How do you link that to the European? And do you think that African psychotherapy is a solution to the violence that's happening in our communities?
Repeat the question again. I was trying to follow what you were saying from the beginning. Repeat the question again.
Okay, I'll try to repeat the question. So do you think that the violence that's happening in our communities, the destruction and violence that's happening in our communities,
okay,
do you believe that it's connected to the European and its colonial conditioning? And do you believe that African psychotherapy is a solution to that violence and to the destruction of our communities?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to say yes to that and yes to the second question, but I'm going to further go into that. Well, first off, we understand that we don't own anything. We don't control anything. Or no, we operate anything, right? We understand that firstly, because on our flag, new African flag, black is at the bottom. So a nation of people at the bottom of the totem pole, and we're seeking to gain the independence, which is for your land, to get to the top of the totem pole, which is green. That's why we say free to land. And then we look at things from that perspective and go into the farther, into the psychology of things. We realize that in our communities, majority of the time, we suffer from poverty, suffer from miseducation, we suffer from poor housing, we suffer from poor developments. Everything is poor. So, you know, those conditions, we fight in the system. We're in a system that is not geared toward the elevation of us as new African people. We all been utilized as a tool of mental slave, a tool of physical slave within the history of America, even from 1619 all the way to 1865. We were in turn being slavery. Even after they abolished the 13th Amendment came, we were quote-unquote free, but they still put a clause in that we can go back to prison, which embraces slavery again, all over again, right? So when we look at those situations, we look at the condition of the people, the new African people within the empire, we term as America, we realize that self-determination is our only tool. And able to supply self-determination, we got to be in our African state of mind. We got to utilize African psychology, which is a function upon the African mindset, African intelligence. And we got, in order to combat certain issues we deal, we got to use African psychotherapy to get resolution in certain issues that we have, a certain contribution that we have, right? So once we tap into the African psychotherapy in our community, for instance, if we live in a community, where people, where there's a lot of crime, man, a lot of shooting and everything, we had to come together in the community and use our own psychotherapy and our own African mind state to come together and start talking to block committee, talking to resistance in our community, control our own community, talk to people in the community, develop an organization to defend the people in our community, also to build the community up, to take the community that was stuck in poverty and miseducation to a community that flourished and that had different things, such as a community center, a bank, a grocery store, a hospital, a school, other institutions out in our community that we can benefit from. And it all deals with that African mind state, you know, and we got also use the psychotherapy to resolve our issues and contradictions that we have to be the solutionaries that we say we are anyway. Hold that answer your question.
Indeed. Actually gave me a lot to think about, but, you know, leads me into my next question. So when we think about the conditioning that, you know, that's currently that has happened, right, and, you know, the way our communities, obviously, like I just said, destructive, destroyed and violent, when thinking about what it means to be African and censoring Africa in our history and in ourselves, how do you believe that what qualities and characteristics of African people are you trying to evoke when thinking about African psychotherapy?
Well, I'm trying to invoke the greatest part of all. Like, for one, is that we had Imhotep, which is a multi-genius, and invoke that whole concept that we all had the potential to be a multi-genius. We all had the potential to be pyramid builders. We all had the potential to study the stars, nobody started the Dogon people. We all had the potential to be great warriors and warriors of the Zulu people. You know, we all had the potential to be great priests and priests at the Yoruba people, the Hausa people. You know, the Ifa people. We all had a great potential to be masters and creators of everything in existence, also be the greatest strategists, the greatest goddamn thinker, the greatest philosopher, the greatest educator. And we all came first in everything historic from every school of science, philosophy, history, or studies, you know. And I'm trying to invoke that greatness within the law, to tap into that greatness, to realize and awaken to your own potential that you never know you have by tapping into their mind state, by becoming aware and cognizant and start realizing regard to who you are or what you can be, even the possibilities of it, the possibilities of it. Those are trying to vote their greatness, you know, to build that power up, to create that real thinking machine. A person who's gonna think about the issues that they face in the country they face in their life and develop solutions for it. You know, develop solutions for themselves, but develop solutions for others, but others can't think for themselves. They're the individual I'm trying to build up, you know. That person who is self-determined, self-realizing, self-aware, and really defend themselves in all planes of existence. That the individual I'm trying to invoke or create or help push or help motivate, help inspire. You know, that's the person I'm looking for. Really reach back into yourself and pull out the greatness in yourself. That's the overall goal in one sentence. Now, yeah.
You know, that definitely makes sense, you know, especially when thinking about nation building and, you know, thinking of ways that we can, you know, utilize each other, you know, as the building blocks of a new nation, right, that is in resistance to the colonial relationship, right? And so obviously through that colonial relationship, there's a lot of propaganda, right? And so your role as National Minister of Information of the Provisional Government of the RNA, of the Republic of New Africa, I imagine, you know, that propagation is important when specifically focused on nation building. How important is it for you to propagate, you know, specific messages to the New Africans, right, considering there's an intellectual warfare that's being waged on New Africans, as we've been stating tonight?
Well, it's of the utmost importance. It's imperative. Because if any individual holds a position, minister information, any type of formation, right, it's his or her responsibility to put out the right information regarding the particular structure that they represent, regarding the particular structure they're a part of, regarding we're doing it in the real work. It's on them to propagate everything rightfully, right? It's on them to do certain things, such as make sure you have a social media presence. Make sure you have a physical presence. Make sure you have a website presence. Make sure people doing certain things in certain areas in with their border. Make sure physical information going inside the prison and what is on the streets. That's on the individual to do so. That's a responsibility, utmost responsibility. So the individual has to study, had to engage in political education, had to research, had to communicate people, had to interview and talk to people, and do it and find out all the various means and modes of obtaining information, the different ways of obtaining it, and also the different ways and modes and means of how to spread the information to others. You know that, but also propagating the particular structure they represent, which is the Provisional Republic of Africa, to put information out there in regards to that. You know, I also had the ability to create certain publications, certain directories, and other information in order to promote, to help propagate you more, even certain images or pictures and video, things of that nature, is where they're going to propagate the goals and aims of the Provisional Republic of Africa, which is land and independence, you know? So it's of utmost importance to do so. Like, even right now, I'm in Dr. John McClark Town, known as Columbia, Georgia. And this falls upon a lot of aspects of what we're talking to everybody, the African mindset, the African psychotherapy. Yeah, we know that we don't own, control, and operate in our community, so we create what they call the people out of independence. But our goal is to own, control, and operate the community we exist in. And we know land, the base, and independence. And then once we own, operate, control, and be resistant, we actually can build the institution that we see that we needed for the people, which is a community center, which we have right now, a grocery store, a school, a hospital, and a bank. Even tonight, we're trying to put a job in the people's hands, spread the people in our organization. We're having a grand opening tonight of our restaurant called Tail Feather that they'll open at 10 o'clock, 8 p.m. to 6 o'clock in the morning, and we night owls, and located on 2503 Dodge Street, Columbia, Georgia, 31903. And also, we know and realize psychologically in our own mind state, various information that we got to work toward our goals of independence, and we got to actually own land. We got to own real estate. We got to own the houses in our community. We got to own the bank store. We got to own everything in our community in order to build our nation. Even have a replica of what we term as the Freedom of Africa. We know we're a replica of that, you know, as a certified New African district. We got that same chain of command if we so choose, though, to build on a particular cadre aspect from a political and a military perspective, right? We know that these things are needed, so we're working to do we put in the work to do so. And it all began with the intelligence. You know, it all began with the intellect. It all began with the information. I'm also administering information for that formation as well, because that's the role and place that I sit in, that I fit in. That's my forte. It's my forte. And in regards to picking and choosing the cards, you got to make sure the individual, he or she, fits the role and position and the duties of the particular area to make it successful. And then they all go back to having that particular intelligence and know exactly what to do and what to do and how to apply yourself. I yield.
So, based on some of the work that you're doing over there in John Henry Clarkstown, it sounds like you're in need of, you know, you'll be in need of people, right? And their skills, and obviously their mindset, right? And their intellect and their ability, right, to be able to build, to be able to support. How do you go about that? How do you go about, I guess, and I don't know if it's the best term to incentivize people to participate in this nation building effort? What are some strategies you think, or ways that you can get people involved, and then help to overcome a lot of the, you know, conditioning that people, you know, need to be out there working for, you know, the oppressor nation rather than working for their own nation?
Well, you know that our main incentive is showing and proving by our ways of action. That's our main incentive. Now, we've been talking about obtaining a community center. And even had a program called Unite the Fight, and Unite the Fight is still going on. So we actually came together and purchased a community center for the organization that we do the work that we're talking about, and we carry out and sort the program. You know, that was the first thing. You know, I was second initiative we're doing that we create opportunity for people to get money. Cause we know in the revolution, a lot of things be a revolution. Revolutionary poor. You can't make. You have no productivity in a revolution. You don't have any kind of economic to build with. You have all the ideas, all the philosophy, all the information, but if you don't have no physical resource, raw material, and raw resources, such as money and monetary things and other material things to build on, you're not gonna be successful, right? So that one of our sense is we're trying to push many jobs to the comrade pocket as much as possible. That's exactly why. The community center used as a spot, you know what I'm saying, to create funds and generate funds. We have different fundraiser events that we had in regard to New African Business Expos. We have other events to raise funds. We push the aspect of creating businesses, being an entrepreneur to create jobs, so we can feed all the comrades in the organization as well as feed the people in our community and our area, build it up. Now we're pushing that aspect to have a grocery store. Once we get the grocery store, we'll be able to get our comrade jobs. You know, we get a bank, we get our comrade jobs. We get a store. Well, we get a school, we get our comrade jobs. It's all about doing what we do best and get paid for it, and well, doing what we do best for the people, to liberate our people and get our people independence. So they'll go to the sensor right there, you know, so that we pushing. And also getting you in the right mindset so you can recognize that you have the potential to be successful as well. So those are the incentives right there. And like you said, you also said that we look for bodies. And that's what the whole process of people saying to do the work. They'll come. When people see you work, see you building, the builder's going to come to help you build. They're going to help you come. They're going to come to help you build while they see you build them. They're going to come. So we've been having people coming. And that's why we developed the college that we had, only thing we had now, because we got people of different trades and skills that came together to make the thing successful. That's why we're functioning right now.
Indeed, it's definitely important, you know, for us to, you know, find ways to utilize our skills, you know, see where we can contribute, right, to the greater good of our communities, our people, as new Africans, as Africans. And so a lot of times, though, you know, the come as you are, sometimes is not enough, right? Sometimes, you know, we come as we are, but we still have a lot of work because, you know, internally we've been damaged so much. You know, obviously we've been damaged because of our environment. We've been damaged because of, you know, the oppressor nation, you know, has continuously through many generations, you know, inflicted so much violence and genocide upon us. And I think a lot of that also stems from the education system, right? We've been educated to hate ourselves. We've been educated to disregard each other and not necessarily build community, but we're now in a state where we're moving away from community and being more individuals, right? And so a lot of times, you know, we're not there to support each other because we're so focused on ourselves, right? And in your book, you talk about self-education as this essential tool in the process that enable us to become our true selves. Can you talk a little bit about that and how we can materialize our true self?
Well, you know, self has many identifications to it, right? From a nation building perspective, it can be looked upon as your particular nationality, which is a new African. Your particular origin as a person of African descent, you know, and even a particular aspect of that you can be identified politically as a scientific socialist or communalistic or, you know, a Ujamaist or whatever, you know, from that perspective. You know, you can be looked at from perspective, but I also look perspective from a metaphysical perspective that we are immortal souls, eternal souls, known as the Ka, you know what I'm saying, the Ba, you know, and various other terms that utilize to describe who we are, right? There's also we look upon the respect that we also are universal mind state. We're a universal mind state. We're an intelligent mind state, a dominant mind state, a superior mind state, you know, looking for those perspectives as well, right? You know, and also look at the perspective that some people want to turn being kings and queens and gods and goddesses and emperors and emperors and priests and priests. So many other terms that we utilize to describe our people, about different trades and skills, things that they have, right? So, you know, we can look at it from many perspectives, right? And that self-education, knowing who you are, once you be attaining certain things, because many times we go through different stages in our evolution. You may go through stages that we're dealing with nationalism. Say we're dealing with black nationalism. Say we're dealing with revolutionary black nationalism. A state we're dealing with culture national, a state we're dealing with international, we might go through different stages. And during the different stages, we embark ourselves or participate and get involved with different organizations, such as the Nation of Islam, the Moorish Sinai Temple, the Hebrew Israelites, the Black Power of Self-Defense, Republic of Africa, different formations, Reverend Action Movement, the US Movement. All our people revolutionary part, our people socially part, we engage in certain things, certain activity and formation and movements that are going to parallel our different form of ideology you have at a particular time. And it's all dealing with ourselves. And some of the movements are learned about things from a legal perspective, like the Moorish Sinai Temple. We learned about things from an economic perspective. As a member of the Mool family, dealing with the aspect of agriculture, the aspect of raw eating, the same thing for Hebrew Israelites, dealing with a lot of agriculture. You might learn certain things from a rebel perspective as a member of the Black Panther Party. You might learn things from a nation perspective from, being a member of the Greek Republic of Africa. Those are all different parts of the self that you may learn or participate and get involved with or get invoked and motivated upon just by being involved in different collections and formations and entities. But what goes back to having that knowledge itself. Knowledge itself telling you that we have turned known as melanin or carbon-based atoms that represents your dark skin or your way give you the ability to dance and sing and rap and box and fight and do other things that make you have a strong form of growth and development within your physical and mental genes, mental ways by being tapped into this essence that people are familiar with, tolerant melanin or karmic and or divine spark. You know, that's a form of knowledge itself. Or even knowing that there were 33 dynasties in Kemet, that knowledge itself, because that was the knowledge of your ancestors. Even knowing that right now, the new African woman was the greatest achiever right now in all, the most successful, so to speak, than all the particular groups of people right now in society in 2023. They have knowledge of self. All have knowledge of self, right? Or even have the knowledge to know that you went to the stage to become a man, a child, a boy, and a man, which was psychological. That knowledge of self. You know, and even how to push people into that. You know, that's a knowledge of self. Knowing, have knowledge of self, being educated, self-education. To educate to yourself to become a greater individual. Because you know where you came from. You know what you need to do. You know what you need. You know what you need. You know how to function in regards to getting back to the place you need to be at, like at Sankofa. Return back to the source. And you, that source, to be better than what you are right now today. Oh, to answer your question.
Absolutely. So I've been thinking a lot about some of these three degrees of the true self, the spiritual, the mental, and the physical, which is something that I believe in myself that, you know, is a part of me, you know, ways that I have to dig deeper into myself and to have a deeper understanding of these three areas. Can you go ahead and explain to the audience what the spiritual, the mental, and the physical aspect of self is?
Okay. Well, the spiritual aspect is what you want to call your individual soul, you know, and the educator Tony Broder said that we are all the information in the universe always is within us. We got to tap into it, right? And that's like we tapping into the spiritual energy, the universal energy, the universal mind, universal intelligence to get the information, right? So that's what the spiritual aspect of it is, you know, tapping into those celestial energy, tapping into that creative energy, the developing energy, the universal is an all thing, that life force energy. Okay, the physical aspect is, you know, us that resonate with us being new African people, being descendants of Africa, right? Being descendants of the continent had the greatest achievement ever in history to this date. Okay, and the people challenge and try to neglect and disrespect and disenfranchise and they credit other people with, but we know that's a lie. So that's the physical aspect of things. You know, the mental aspect is that particular mindset that we aim to develop by the utilization of African psychotherapy. African psychology was the foundation of things, which is a resistance school of thought, which is a revolutionary school, a radical school of thought. Because once you get in that African way of thinking, you challenge it and rebelling through mutiny of all the European schools of thought that pose a threat to our national security, or a threat to our security in general, the individual that continues that vote to try to intend to enslave us. So those are the three degrees right there in a nutshell, in a simplest form for people to understand, to overstand, to interpret, to analyze, to critique, however they want to perceive things. You know, how the world want to do with it. It's on them. That's all about thinking. It's, my whole book is about thinking. Tap into that process of getting you to think for yourself and what to think for others if need to be. So, you know, it's just a little about things in a nutshell. I'm going to start right there.
So can you help the audience know ways that they can become self-educated? What are some ways that, you know, people can engage in some form of self-education? What is your advice on that?
Well, you know, the first thing is to start asking questions. You know, that curiosity is what led me to want to self-educate myself. Being curious, looking at all these books that my grandma had, just looking at these books, grab them, open them up. Even though I can't read or understand what was going on, in my mind, it made sense to me. That wasn't the greatest thing you ever can do. Be curious about, want to learn. That's when the process develops, when you get curious. And then in regards to that, you have to start seeking things. Want to read certain things that are informative. Ask questions to people that they're actually been involved with some of the things that you're seeking to read of. Going to different places, listening to people. If you're going to lectures or if you're going to gatherings, visit organizations that are doing work. They're doing work in the community, doing work anywhere that have information. Using all the aspects of the media to get information, which would be the social media, the internet, YouTube, listening to music, watching certain movies, speaking certain things, you know. It's just so many different ways to gather the information, so many ways to push that level up. And one of the greatest keys in all is find something that you actually like and learn more about it. Learn everything about it, whatever it may be. You want to know about guns. Say everything about guns. Look into the defense. Look into building a militia. Look into building a collective. Look at building an on-ground force. Look into all that. If you like to learn about guns, you like guns. You like information. Find out all the ways to utilize the information. If you have an information center, if you have a library, if you got a community center, if you got a learning center, if you got a publication, you got a newspaper, you got a magazine, you got a movie, documentary going, use the information to your advantage. You do the best with it. You know, those are some simpler ways to attain your goal and idea.
So I spoke earlier about today being Haitian Flag Day, and as a representation of the Haitians, you know, conquering their own independence, right, and, you know, celebrating that with the raising or the creation of this new flag. Could you talk to how, if you have an idea of this history, of how the Haitians were able to evoke spirit? And also a lot of what the self-education must have been in order for them to be able to be successful in overthrowing their oppressor?
True indeed. That way is where independence really started, right? That's a real strong for 1804. You know, 1804, January the 1st, you know, which is a magnificent year, a magnificent time. When we look at that, that symbolized to the new African people that were already here in 1619 up until that current time that we can obtain independence. That the work and effort that we're doing is attainable. You know, that we actually be our own independent nation that we actually been pushing for even before we got here. You know, we were snatched up by the oppressor. You know, and even before they even went into this, their process of things, They had a ceremony in regards to our African tradition. Some people would call it voodoo. Some people would call it African spirituality, whatever they call it. They had different meanings to it, right? And they all realized that they were already suffering through various phases of oppression. They were treated the same way. They were killed. They were murdered. They were worked to death. You know, they were raped, victimized, and all the other standpoint that forms of calamity and adversity that they didn't want to face, right? So they had to utilize the education they already had. They were carried on down through African traditions or by word of mouth or tradition that they utilize that it's just self-education to be able to know that they can fight against certain things. But first they had to make the decisions and then they had a spirit of resistance. That's why I did a ceremony which represents that spirit of resistance. That spirit of resistance that they prepared that were actually during that time, you know, when it's Black August we have today, which is revolutionary culture. You know, they use their spirit of resistance first through their own self-education to prepare their mind to want to accomplish certain things, right? And it took them a while to actually attain it. But once they attain it, they knew that they worked, that they had put in for them years, what has paid off and live up to what they were already pushing for in their particular mind state. You know, like I said, Haitian, it paved the way for other African people. People that died spoiled and want to gain independence, such as Jamaica, such as Kenya, such as Ghana, you know, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Angola, all different places. They paved the way for their independence. They paved the way, which is a beautiful thing, right? And they knew that, you know what I'm saying, together, they can resist. That's what it is. They came together. They started putting people in certain positions that were able to attain certain things. Anybody can be no general. Everybody can be no propagandist. Everybody can be the one that will train certain people. Everybody can be the one that will build certain things. Everybody can be the one that had all the weapons. But they put every position through their own self-education and intelligence. But they built a particular cadre or development, and it became successful because they didn't give up through that spirit of resistance. You know, and that's why today Haitian flag, and that's why it's important to us. It's important to look at our ancestors. Even though they identified new African independent movement, they were new African people, though. They were new African people as well. But they had their own independence, which is Haitian independence. But they didn't identify new African independent because new African independent movement was us in America that going through the suffering and pain and still fighting for the independent right now. So that's us in a nutshell. And I yield.
So do you mind talking earlier you talked to the Republic of New Africa and the provisional government and Malcolm X being the ideological foundation of the RNA. Can you talk to a little bit about what Malcolm X was trying to iterate when he spoke to nationalism as land and independence, as the struggle for land and independence? Can you speak a little bit about that?
You know, because Malcolm X has said earlier throughout his philosophy that we got to control all the politics in our community, you know. In order to control politics in our community, we got to be independent. We got to have our own nation. Because what other way we control the politics in our community if we don't actually own it and it doesn't belong to us, right? He recognized it earlier. He also said that we got to get rid of the landlord, you know, land to base of independence. We got to be absent of it. We got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of people who own our land and control the property and the resources. So we got to own this. You know, he believed the way he pushed for and worked toward. Even when African many different dignitaries and learn about different things, he always identified that land-based independence. You know, we got to have that land in order to build a nation, have our own government, and all the other standpoint. And also, a noble mention that his father was a Garveyite. You know, his father was a Garveyite. You know, his father knew that Garvey had said it was our nation, was our flag, was our government, what people are big or fast. And now all that dream came to reality through the founding of the original Republic of Africa. You know, who were the children of Martin Garvey and also the children of Malcolm X. It came to reality, you know, that we still see today. And the reality that they're going to be existing at some time or another. But it is this even farther that people are further and faster, more people put in the work concept legal. And that's all we need. We need to do the work, and we need to work together to make the concept legal for real. Concrete reality. And that's what we aim to do right here in Dr. John Clark Town. Turn it into a reality by our work. By our work. And by being examples, so the people actually can see certain things. that's what we aim to do, you know. What were the other part? What the other part was it? Was another part to the question?
No, I think you answered the question. But I would like to know, you know, what would you say to those who, you know, might look to America, right, or the United States, and believe that all of the work that enslaved Africans put into this country is now, you know, is now theirs, right? They you know, are looking toward, you know, the United States for some form of repair, some form of reparation. However, a lot of times what I've noticed is that instead of looking at lands and independence, they're more looking at an integrationist, from an integrationist perspective as Americans. And so they believe that although enslaved Africans, you know, built the foundations of this country and are looking for some form of reparations, whether it's monetary or, you know, some form of political power, what would you say to those African, new African people who might believe that, you know, America or the United States is the answer, right? Integrating into that system is the answer. What would you say to them, considering your belief in land and independence as a response to our history of enslavement?
I'm sorry. I actually didn't hear what you had said. It was a minor technical issue. Can you repeat the question?
I will try. So, what would you say to new Africans when, you know, they who believe or understand that the United States owes new Africans some form of reparations, right? Because of the fact that new Africans, enslaved new Africans, were the foundation that built this country and built the foundation for this country to prosper the way it does. So there's a lot of new Africans in this country who believe themselves to be American and look to America or you look to the United States as a solution to seeking that repair, right? So, you know, they look at integration and they look at, you know, this, aside from integration, they look at reparations, but in the form of political power that is, again, integrated into society, integrated into American society. And considering your position on lands and independence and, you know, given the history of, you know, what Malcolm X, you know, spoke to when it came to lands and independence, what would you say to those new Africans who believe themselves to be American? What would you say to them in order for them to understand that building their own independent nation would be more sustainable and more effective, if that makes sense?
Well, you know, first thing is that we got examples around us. You know, we got examples around us as sure as possible. Like you talk about the Haitian flag day, you know, so that means it's possible. That means it's possible, you know, to attain certain things. Hold on right quick. Okay. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Still there, comrade?
Yeah. Hold on, comrade.
Okay. All right, while we wait for Comrade Bomani to return. Okay, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I was multitasking. You know, right now we had the grand opening. Like I said, our restaurant tonight. So I'm multitasking, doing a few things at one time.
Okay.
So I'm multitasking. I'm banking and doing this. I'm moving around this. I'm doing, you know, multitasking.
All right.
But yeah, you know, our people always say we can't do things, right? People always say we can't do things, make things happen. They say we can get a community center. We put out 2015. Now we got the community center. They say we can make a significant change in our community. They say we can clean our communities, and we did that. They say we can't educate ourselves. We did that. They say we can create an organization and that people need. We did that, you know. So people can say whatever they want to say, but as long as we show and improve our ways of action, they can say it doesn't matter. You know, we can't worry about what people be saying about what we got going on, but we can't. But we do need to be aware of what they're saying, so we know how to educate them and show them and get to them and show and get them what and present them what they need to know to better themselves. So that's what my work and the work of others that I deal with is about. In general, in a nutshell, look for the examples. If you're a naysayer, you don't believe. Look for the examples. When you see the example, you know it's real.
That's factual. Definitely the examples is where it's at. And so we should definitely all be trying to set those examples as well as looking for examples that we can lead by. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the callers if anybody wants to call in and speak to our guest tonight. Go ahead and dial 1. I'll go ahead and open up the line for anyone who wants to call in and speak to our guest for tonight. Until then, I'll go ahead and ask my next question. So you speak to resistance, right, is the social cultural ideology of African psychotherapy, of which we must always remain cognizant. Can you speak to a little bit about that and what you mean in terms of this resistance?
Okay. Our resistance first begins in our mind, right? Resisting the ways of thinking of a European or a social construct system that's not geared toward our advancement. Resist toward that first. You know, and the people's got up thinking that being a European, being a white man, a white woman, in America is success, then we already know we don't fail. Because we all know that's a misunderstanding by identifying with something that we are not. You know, we know that's a greater form of psychological mind trick to be upon us. And they knew that when they took away our identity, when they brought change, they stopped us from being the Iwe and the Mandinka and the Wula, the Zulu, the Maasai. They stopped this identity. And so they started enculturating us into a European way of thinking by telling them about the Greek philosophers and about Shakespeare and Sirius Urimian and all your other individuals to condition program our mind state to be somebody that other than ourselves, that we are not. You know, that was the first form of resistance. And once we started resisting those thoughts and those social constructs by telling them that we can't own anything, then we started getting resistance of actually being able to own certain things and want to educate ourselves. And they started attacking us. We had to be in the resistance aspect to be able to defend ourselves from those physical attacks by any means necessary, like Malcolm X said. We got to be able to defend ourselves through that form of resistance, you know. And then resistance also, like I said, starts beginning in the mind, the mental process. And we want to start to develop ideas and concepts and systems and organizations and collectives and parties and formations that they're gonna go against the status quo. And put us on the top of things by owning, controlling, and operating community resistance by building our own nation, by creating that particular land that we're talking about. That's resistance right there in the various forms of it.
So in the back of your book, you also recommend some reading. Can you describe some of the books that you've recommended for those who have read your book, and why have these books made such a major impact in your writing of this manifesto?
Okay. Yes. I can, you know. But before I get into that, right, I want to speak about the aspects of the importance of people behind enemy line educating themselves, right? I'll catch new African citizens, you know, educating themselves. I want to speak on the importance of that, right, of them educating themselves. But being in that new African mindset that I was talking about, I mentioned earlier, right, you know, the main reason that brothers behind them watch me educate themselves is so that they won't find themselves in the same predicament that they're in right now. And that predicament could be a mental liberation. And that predicament could be a mental liberation that leads to a physical liberation in regards to putting them outside, on the outside world, but they aren't educating themselves and they be successful in the community that they ought to educate themselves about already. You know, if they're not educated in certain things, how they going to know how to be a writ writer or a jailhouse lawyer or how to solve their own case, where they can find contradictions and loopholes and get out? That's the education. Also, to know that, realize that they are oppressed and had a resistant spirit that I was just talking about previously, Dan, that you mentioned about the resistant spirit, to be able to resist the oppressor that be in the system that he got them. And also to build that brotherhood, that solidarity, and that organization that they're going to reduce new Afrocentrism and what Georgia University is pushing forward anyway. You know, and their education aspect can solve within their system the aspect of crime within there, the gangbang, the tribalism, the death and murders. It's also going to help them learn how to live together, eat together, make money together, and also be successful business owners and entrepreneurs while they're in there. So when they come to society, they already have a foundation structure to build on. And I yield with that particular aspect. And you asked me why is the reference material in the back of the book. Well, first off, all the individuals that refer in the back of the book are what we're going to term our new African social scientists. These individuals engage into the psychiatry of our mind, the psychology of our mind, and also the sociology of our mind, right? And these individuals talked about the various therapeutic means as very, very different self-solution aspects in order to get out of this hole that we currently in right now, to build the nation that we currently talking about right now. And that's why all these individuals are very important. They're important on various levels. They talk about white supremacy, which is a system that we're fighting. They talk about educating yourself. They talk about yourself. They talk about being great. They talk about the achievement we're accomplishing. They talk about the mindset that we can have if we accomplish certain things. So they all motivating and reinforcing all the things that I've written about. It reinforces all of that, every single thing, exactly what I'm written about, reinforcing that. Those are examples to me that what I'm talking about in writing is that. What I'm talking about makes sense. What I'm talking about can be helpful. What I'm talking about can be conducive. What I'm talking about is right on time, right on the money. Those are the ones that show me that, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, yeah.
All right. I think we have one caller on the line that would like to speak. I'm going to bring that caller to the line is 916-843-9168. I'm going to go ahead and open up your line and ask you a question, comment, or statement. Your line is open. All right. We're just going to go ahead and continue. So in this case, what are the three top three books that you would recommend to anyone that is interested in learning about African psychotherapy? What are some of the top three books that you would recommend to listeners tonight?
Well, the Yoruba by my mama Maria Bunny, daughter Maria Bunny, the Icy Paper, my mama Francis Wilson, Dr. Francis Wilson, and Garvey and Garveyism. I'm trying to think of a real good one, man. So many. It's a book called African Psychology and Historical Perspective by Dadi Azibu and a couple other people in the commentary. Those are three I recommend right now, top of my head. That are actually some of my favorite personal favorites themselves. Those are my personal favorites right now.
Indeed. And so out of these three books, what would you say would be the best book for someone who might not have read any? So out of the three books, what would you rate as the top book for someone who is being introduced into this topic of discussion?
The African Psychology and the commentary by the Zebra, because they talk about different things. It talks about the melanin aspect. It's about the history that the Black Psychological Association. It's all about African psychology. It talks about the various forms of the African community. It breaks down the terms, the ideas, and concepts. So that'll be the best one for a person who's based at the beginning, a person who really wants some real information on various levels and various aspects of the social sciences. That'll be the best one. It not only introduces two different authors and individuals, it introduces different formats. Because one of the things in there, it talks about into psychotherapy. You know, into psychotherapy is a psychotherapy based upon African spirituality. You know what I'm saying? African psychotherapy, what I'm talking about. And one of the foundations of that is that it resonates with is how to utilize those therapeutic principles by the utilization of the Nguyen Tsapa with the seven African principles that we deal with. With the crop economics, self-determination, you know what I'm saying, unity and faith and so forth and so on, right? It talks about those and it speaks about those certain things within the context of the book on various levels. It's all talking about our various forms of melanin and how we utilize it in regard to our bone structure, our physical mind state, our physical body, you know what I'm saying, our achievement, our comfort, our wisdom, our thinking process and so forth and so on, right? It touches on various things in that book that are very useful on all levels and endeavors. From a defensive aspect, education, economic, politics, and culture aspect, it talks about all those things, right? And even how to build certain things, you know, through your own mind. So I feel like that would be the best book for overall understanding, and even on a simplest way, for anybody who's interested in what I'm talking about, you know, or learning about certain things.
All right. So what we're going to do is open up the line again for caller 443-9168. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, and you can ask your question, comment, or statement.
Free the land.
All right.
By
any means necessary.
Baba, could you explain to us the importance of transforming the colonized mindset into a revolutionary mindset?
Well, that's a beautiful thing, man. I'm gonna give you some examples. I'm gonna give some examples before we start explaining it. You know, brothers like Saint Shakir, brother went in the prison system, an active gang member, a criminal, a miseducated, misguided individual, right? That's how he went into prison. The same thing for Conrad George Jackson. The same thing for Malcolm X. You know, they went into prison with their old particular mindset, right? And all three of them became some of my greatest theoreticians and thinkers to ever grade the planet Earth. Saint Shakir went in there and became a kind of average citizen, became a member of Spiritual Collective. He also became, he went from Kamasa Kota to Saint Shakir. He developed an African eye. You know what I'm saying? He became one of the greatest theoreticians that ever graced the African independent movement, especially on the Spiritual. He wrote various books. Became a successful author. He traveled. He met other people that was engaged in the struggle and the movement. You know, then Conrad George Jackson. He left one of the greatest legacies ever to grace the planet Earth. And being one of the black guerrillas, and being one of the black vanguard, being one of the members of the Black Militant Front, you know what I'm saying? They were drafted to the Black Panther Party in prison because the Panther Party saw his achievement, work, and answers and things he was building, you know, from their perspective. So they saw that. His movement still exists on to today. Even his spirit is on. His spirit existing, doing Black August, and which is coming up in August, you know. Is this on right now through Jordan University Radio, at Jordan University as well. You know, where he talked about transferring the criminal mentality to a revolution mentality. Is this on right now to today? And even Malcolm X being the father of many of us, even being the father of Conrad George and other individuals, you know, because Malcolm X paved the way, you know. Malcolm X went in there, a criminal mind state, engaged in all forms of criminality. And once he gained that certain knowledge of self, they talked to him, they talked about it, the black man being God, the black man being strong, dominant, superior, the original man, the one who created all the facts, sciences, and systems, ideology on the planet Earth. They transferred his mind state. He turned to a debater. He got educated. He wanted to teach. You know, he wanted to build. He wanted to share wealth and information to their people. You know, so the whole, they're just a basic individual they can see around their examples. But the whole process of transformation, the benefit of it is that it puts you in a better condition that you ever seen. It puts you in better conditions. By transforming your mind from a criminal mind to a revolutionary mind or to a productive mind, you African mind state, it changes your conditions. It changes society around you. If you're in a community, you're in a community that exists that has all kind of drugs and gangs and all kind of other things that are plaguing our people, you transfer that mentality around, you start destroying the community and want to build a community. And once you start building a community, they put value in the community. You want to own the community then. Once you have owned the community, you're going to build your foundation, you're going to build your generation wealth. Well, and you're also going to transfer your mindset to something higher and greater than what you ever thought that you ever accomplished to be. Because now you see for yourself what exactly it is to be great, to be able to make that transformation, which is a new development, you know, in real time right now, in real time. So that's what's going on in particular in regards to that transformation process. It all being in one individual. It all being in one individual, you know, because Conrad Jordan do it by itself. Malcolm X do it by itself. Sandy Security do it by itself. It's all individual around and helping them build the instruction, organization, foundation in which they was a part of, you know, and they're all individuals that were educating them, you know what I'm saying? There were other individuals like W.R. Nolan, Big J. Lewis, Howard Toll, you know, Kamasi, other individuals that educated Conrad and George, you know, that worked with education on certain things. They were all individuals that Malcolm X was around that educated him. Being with other individuals, all individuals around that San Yika to educate him, like Saladin, you know, other individuals around him to educate him. So it's a process, you know, and within that process, within the process, the greater goal out of it, attain is that self-worth, that self-greatness, or that self-determination, or that jewel they're going to give you your real self or your true self, you know, that you're going to attain at the end of it. They're going to be beneficial on all levels, beneficial defensively to you, educationally, economically, political, culturally, and also spiritually. It's beneficial to you because you became something greater than yourself that you ever thought, that something you never even thought about. You awaken potential that you never knew you had. You reckon creativity and talent you never knew you had. Now you can benefit from these talents and creativity that you awaken by taking those steps to want to transform yourself. I hope that answers your question, brother.
Indeed, so, and I appreciate it. But before I leave, can you explain to me what is a colonized mindset?
Okay. A colonized mind state is the same as a slave mind state, a criminal mind state, a gangster mind state, or a nigger mind state. Because you're in a condition that you are oppressed. You're oppressed psychologically. You're oppressed economically, you're oppressed socially, you're oppressed culturally, you're oppressed financially, you know, you're oppressed spiritually, you're oppressed militarily, you know, you're oppressed in that mind state. And the more you're oppressed, it takes away your identity. Like, right, let's say you're the invisible man, right? You feel like you had no purpose in life. You feel like you had no role, no play, no position. So by you feeling that way, that automatically puts you in a down set of your mindset. It's gonna make you want to do stupid things to try to fool yourself, fool your worth. It's gonna make you think and act like a criminal because you're not gonna have any solutions in your mind state to want to be successful. You're gonna know that you're gonna use your mind to develop economics, use your mind to develop finance, or use your mind to develop buildings, or even to build or to feed yourself. You're not gonna know all this because you're in a colonized mind state. You're all under the control and influence of others. They don't look like you. They don't colonize you. They don't change your mindset. They don't change your name. Your name might be David or something. You know, Anthony's name might have been Simba or Mbaku or something, you know, or Zaid or something, you know. But your mindset, your name is this. Your people might have spoke Zulu or Bantu, but now you speak English. You know, your people might have been a warrior class, but now you're a servant in a slave class. Because you got a colonized mind state. And once you got a colonized mind state, you'll start realizing that everybody's not your enemy. While you're in a colonized mind state, you're gonna transgress on a brother, period. Because you think that your brother's your enemy. Where the true enemy is the one to keep you in prison, the one to keep you fighting, killing, destroying, and ravaging, and doing other things to each other. Those are the ones who got you colonized. And that's why you need to get out of that mind state to reach a better predicament in life. To reach a higher station and better station in life, no, you need to get up out of that as soon as possible. You know, it's plenty of steps around you. Individual got to see certain things. You got to tap in your own mind through your own curiosity to be able to give yourself your own therapeutic means to relieve yourself of your mental sickness that you might have. It's on you as an individual. Oh. Did I answer your question, brother?
Yes, sir, it did. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt. No doubt.
We want to thank caller for calling in and asking their question. We'll go ahead and take you off the queue. So you spoke a little bit about the colonized mindset and transforming to a revolutionary mindset. Do you mind sharing with the audience the history of George Jackson University and its struggle to do so within the prison?
Okay. Well, the history of George University goes back to December 17, year 2000, right? And the idea began and which one term is a security house unit known as the SHU. Security house unit is a deprivation unit that was created to deprive brothers of their basic human necessity and needs that they have already in the prison. They already deprived them already as it is. You know, it was utilized as a way to keep brothers from thinking, to keep brothers from organizing, to keep brothers from being productive, to keep brothers from producing or assisting the production of people that are productive people within the society of existing. And also, they can actually curtail the new Afrocentrism, the returning rate of people back, our new people back to the prison system, right? So we were creating this unit, this SHU unit, or this SHU line, was a particular line of individuals that were working, collected through New African Collective Thinking Tank, and other entities to build something productive for the needs of the people, right? So we had individuals like Abdul Lugabar Secure, Yafi Ayapo, Abasi Ghana, who were brothers who were locked up in this shoe, that was in conversation with brothers like ancestor Donna Evans, ancestor Rashid Ali, who had long histories of struggle already on the streets, right? So they all came together collectively to want to do something to transform the mindset of the people within there. Into the revolutionary mindset and turn their conditions and they quote unquote sales into not places of attainment or places of solitude, but places of learning, places of education, places of development, and places of great potential. They turn them in classrooms so they be able to organize themselves, build themselves, be successful, attain some of the economic, gain some of the communication, put awareness out of the condition of what they got going through at being a political prisoner. Put awareness out to the people so the people can see exactly what's going on, reaching out for legal assistance, aid and assistance, help, and various other platforms to attain to the goal that's beneficial not only to them, but it benefits to the other people around them, as well as the people on the outside once they attain their particular freedom and liberation, right? So Georgia University has been doing this in 2000. And in the midst of all of that, there have been various persecutions against the founders and members of Georgia University, especially the people that are behind enemy lines in regards to the time of Black August. And when they see the time of Black August, and they already validated the brothers that knew how to represent nationally as gang members, that's why they're in the shoe program. They validated them as gang members. And what, anything they've been a gang member, you can feel they're a criminal. So they criminalized them for their political beliefs. Where it was some lawsuit that were won through individuals such as Matopa Iguma, Tashiri, Brother Tashiri, you know, that they proved that New African nationalism, New African independent movement, Free and Appropriate Africa, is not a gang. You know what I'm saying? It's not a set. It's not none of that. You know what I'm saying? It's a people. It's a people together that find a common identity as a New African. They have a New African nationality. They're seeking to build a New African nation. And seeking to be independent, and I also seek to practice their self-determination. So, you know, during that time, like I said, brothers were attacked during Black August, you know what I'm saying? They didn't stop, going to stop them from communicating and writing letters and talking to the people, and some brothers even received extra time during certain times, and as well as our head was at the time in L.A. was mysteriously burnt down and raided and all this other old stuff and destroyed. Mysteriously, because of the association with Georgia University, associated with the quote-unquote gang members, what they labeled in the SHU program. So we've been facing that oppression. And also, you know, there's been other, you know, oppression we face, you know what I'm saying, internal issues and, you know, other aspects and communication issues and issues on that people being cut off from each other, especially because they locked down, had access to material, people been denied the asset, the communication, they can't communicate with each other, they can't see each other, they can't write people, you can't visit, none of that. All they've been attacks on us at Georgia University, right? And all they really due to the fact that we represent George Jackson, which is the spirit of resistance within the California prison system, which all our founders were located at, you know, with inside the confines of that. So we still work digitally to educate the people in there. By supplying materials, by processing certain things, and by doing a radio show we're doing right now, and by having steady groups, and by propagating certain things, doing Black August programs, and by giving putting the book in a brother's hand instead of putting dope in a brother's hand, you know, put a book in a hand instead of putting a gun in a hand, because we already know that in order to be a foot soldier, you got to be a book soldier first. You got to know exactly what the gun is, how to use, how to break it down, how to create weapons, all this stuff. You got to be a book for the first before you learn that if you want to defend the nation. You know, so it's a lot to say about it, you know, but that's just a little bit about Georgia University in regards to our service. Even right now to this day, even though I'm in a pre-part for independent, which is my community, I'm in Free Africa, I'm also doing the work at Georgia University. We're trying to find that criminal that wrote your mind. That's why I propagate. That's the work of Georgia University, period. The transfer that mentality. And you don't do that through education and means. That's why I'm dealing with it. That's why I'm in the information. That's why I'm doing some of my needs in the people in the community right now. That's what I'm dealing with. Period. Without any shadow of a doubt. I'm a living example of what Georgia University is about. Nation building, institution building, program building, transforming their mind state building, educating building. That's what I'm about. Building, period. I'm a builder. That's what I do. That's what I'm going to continue to do to my demise. God.
So, do you mind telling us a little bit about Black August commemoration, the importance and significance of it, and how that ties into a lot of what you've said in regards to transforming the criminal mentality to a revolutionary mentality? If you can go into that a little bit more.
Okay.
You still there, comrade?
Yeah, yeah, damn, I was talking, my bad. What I was saying is that Black Organizing Committee first I begun in the spring of 1978, right, in San Quentin State Prison, with individuals like Suja Graham, Katari Garden, Micah Dero, individuals like Fela. The individuals were at the beginning and realized and want to recognize that during this month and time, August, that you got that time as a time of resistance. It showed the thing that was resisted during the time of August, such as Harriet Tubman, such as the Watts Rebellion, you know, such as the RNL-11, such as some other things that happened during that month, right? Even the aspect of our historical struggle, you have people in 1619 in August, right? Even that time is then, you know, they want to utilize that month of time to show the resistance that don't happen. And to commemorate all the people that we don't talk about doing, quote unquote, Black History Month, or talk about in European schools or in the white history schools and other things of that nature, right? So in 1979, Black August was created as an aspect to honor the Eightfold Martyrs, in which you had the Flea Days, which had freedom, liberation, everything in Africa. August 1st being commemorated to Qatar Garda was assassinated in 1978. You know, August 13th, remember, because W.L. Nolan, Alvin B. Joe Miller, and Cleveland Edwards, they got assassinated January 13th, 1970. Whereas August 7th was commemorated toward Johnny Jackson, John McClain, you know, and William Christmas. You know, that happened August 7th, 1970. Well, August 23rd, 1971, commemorated Comrade George Jackson, you know, who retired the general as comrade. You know, and there was a commemoration of all them individuals known as Black August Commemoration, which is BAM, which is Black August Resistance Year, the aspect of showing that how you resisted during that time, of August. How you resisted with certain people that were born in the time, like Marcus Garvey, who was the first president of the Division of Government, University of Food Association. Know who born in August. The resistance, trying to resist the Dr. Mutu Zakir, who won the founder of the Republic of Africa, who nearly released right now, being born at that time, who was also known as the Black Liberation Army, which is the armed struggle resistance. They showed the resistance of people like Russell Maroon Schultz, who born in August, also known as the Black Liberation Army and a political prisoner. You know, they also the resistance of people like Chairman Fred Hampton, who born in that time of the month as well. There's also the deputy chairman of the Central Committee of the Black Panther Party, and also the chairman of the Chicago Black Panther Party, Chatley Zwell. And not only showed their resistance, and them people being born, but also the resistance they have an event having their time, like the August 18th, 1971, RNL-11, when they resisted, against the pigs and the government in Jackson, Mississippi, where it resulted in casualties on the side of the pig, no casualties on the side of New Africans. Also resisting the time of the rebellion. The rebellions in Watts, the Watts Rebellion at the time, during August of 1965. They showed the resistance to a racial attack toward our people that were prized, you know, and what certain people such as this, the Slawsons, you know, who were actually on foot and ground, pushing the resistance toward that time. Even the aspect of General Harry Tubman, the Noah, you know what I'm saying, the Moses, our navigator, pushed us through during that time to give our people the freedom to fight through the oppression, get people freedom during that time as an abolitionist. You know, those are former resistance during Black August. And Black August came at a time during Ramadan. At that time, Ramadan was going on. That started July 1979, but then end to August 1979. So the principles of fasting and all that was adopted as a way to show certain brothers, because also some of the brothers who participate might have came from Islamic beliefs or something at the time that they were participating in Black August. So the Nation of Islam or other entities always been a strong force in the California prison system. They back to the early 60s. They all been a strong force. In fact, a lot of brothers who came into the Revolutionary National and the Black Resistance Movement in the prison, the Black Prison Movement, were members who were members of the Nation of Islam and the Islamic school thought anyway in general, right? So, you know, all those certain aspects, it turns out we want to quote our revolutionary Ramadan. You want to use those particular terms, and you want to say it in those different notes. At that time, what we actually were doing. You know, at a tradition, edition modified and advanced throughout time. From the time of 78 and 79, the 80s, even to the third edition, it had changed a lot. Now we had 3 days, you know. Now, 3 days last 24 hours to commemorate the old martyrs of our name. Now we had different program institutions. Now different people or different movements that are involved in black. You're not just saying this strictly toward the people in California prison, so the people toward a certain California prison movement. Now it's a thing that people after the set can commemorate all around the world. You know what I'm saying? Through the very means, through having certain program geared toward martial arts, self-defense, program geared toward education, self-determination, program geared toward the aspect of nation building, program geared toward people teaching people certain skills that are still a form of resistance. Black August is a time of education. It's also a time to look at how far you have accomplished and achieved in last year. Because right now, during Black August, we can look at our condition right now and our own doctrine of current time of what we had. You know, our community suffered open last year during Black August. And now we can see that we have more things going on now with our community and even other institutions and programs going on right now that we can look back already before even Black August come and say that we don't accomplish and achieve. And we're bigger and better now, and greater and better right now. You know, that's somewhat a simpler way of, you know, that speaking about Black August without being so lengthy about it, right? Now you hear it right now. I think somebody might have a call as well, a question.
Indeed. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for 443-9168. Go ahead and ask your question. 9168, your line is open.
Okay, Bob, I got one last question. I read A Taste of Power by Elaine Brown, and in that book, I became aware of how important it was because a lot of people don't know that during these times of organization, women are really the mass of the population inside of these organizations, but the women were disrespected. Their ideology were overlooked, and I'm wondering, like, now, are we still doing the same things we were doing then to the women that we did back then that destroyed a lot of our political movement, the disrespect of the women, the pushing the women aside, not letting the women lead because we had this macho masculine mentality? How do we change that moving forward and allowing our women to play their part in our liberation?
You said, how will I change that condition?
Like, do you think we're still in that mindset where we're, as men, black men, in these organizations, because most of these organizations are mostly populated by women, do we still have that same mindset where we're restricting the women's movement and not allowing them to bring into fruition the changes that they're able to make? And if we are, how do we change that? How do we change that to allow our women to be the leaders that they want to be?
A lot of them are feeling that same mentality. The mayor showed them it's a lot of still in that mentality, right? A lot of still in that same mentality. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay, I was saying a lot of us are still in that mentality right now today because we still exhort those same activities or Mayor Chauvinism and oppression and masculine behavior that been exhibited and conditioned and taught with us by our slave masters and European slave owners and the American academic system already around us. Whereas in the individual public African New African independent movement, we know that we can't build a New African nation without a New African woman. And that had been shown throughout the history of Ruby Africa, even a lot of the founders of Ruby Africa being women, all the people in position. There's the Queen Mother Moore, who the Minister of Health and Society. You know, Sister Joanne Franklin, who was our Minister of Justice. You know, Sister Diana Abacar, who was our first female president. You know, Dr. Betty Shabazz, who was our first second vice president of the original cabinet. You know, so we know our sisters can do had to possess the skills and talents to get our nation where we need to be at. And that's what we believe in. You know, we believe in the man, woman, child. We believe in building up, you know what I'm saying, believe the woman is equal to the man in regard to position, power, and control, influence, motivation, so forth and so on. And we know it's going to take both of them to build a particular nation. You can have a nation that one-sided, that's all you have women, Arab nation that all new African men. You can have new African man and woman together in order to build that particular nation. You know, basically the concept, universal concept, man, woman, and child is universal throughout all our ancient civilization, African civilizations, right? And the ways we start looking at, we start educating ourselves. You know, we start educating ourselves to go out to what's going on and why the women feel this. So we need to ask questions. We need to ask questions to women. Do they feel that way? And we need to look at our actions. If our actions show this, and we don't got women in position of power, we don't understand the position of power, we not realize who we are, the power that they have, influence they have, then you'll know then that we fucking up. We messing up, man. You know, we messing up here, man. But New African independent movement, that's not how we promote or advocate. We advocate the New African woman, New African man can build together. They can work together. And they've been proven throughout our history. Even right now to today, very proven after, we got various sisters that have positions, such as the president, the vice president, the PCG chair. You know, so you got people that ministers, a different position, education, ministry information, other aspects, right, that are actually doing the work right to the day. So we don't worry about those problems and issues, but we do know those problems and issues are what we're facing as people, and those are the problems and issues we need to fix in regard to new African people so we can build a particular nation that we, quote-unquote, talking about, or quote-unquote, philosophizing about, or thinking about, even obtaining. We got to resolve these contradictions right at the door where they at. So there will be none, so we can be successful in all our endeavors and our achievement accomplished, and actually be and see that and bear that real fruit that we aim to see in its raw form. How you here, brother? You had a more question, brother? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I apologize. Can hear you.
No, sir. Thank you.
I can't hear y'all. What y'all say?
I don't think the brother had any more questions.
No, sir, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. No doubt. Appreciate you, brother. You have any more callers?
If we have any more callers that would like to speak, ask the guests any questions, our guests any questions, go ahead and select one on your phone and we can add you to the queue. So we're about to get to the toward the end of the show. And I just wanted to get some of your final thoughts on some of the conversation that was had tonight in regards to your book, as well as a lot of the organizing work and a lot of the thoughtfulness that you're putting into building a nation. So if you can give the audience a little bit more of a closing statement on for tonight.
Well, you know, my closing statement, I'm going to let the propagation talk for itself, right, and let us talk for himself. Well, you know, if you're interested in learning more about the Provisional Republic of Africa, we have a website. Our website is www.pg-rna.com. Again, it's www.pg-rna.com. We also be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the names of Provisional Republic of Africa and Republic of Africa. Also, you're interested in learning more about Jordan University. You go on our website, which is George Jackson University-edu.com. You also find out more about it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, on our social media handles. You also can contact us directly by email, georgejacksonuniversity71@gmail.com, or contact me directly when you are secure. You also can contact me directly at the Ministry of Radio Freedom Republic after as well. You also, you know what I'm saying, we'll have my book signing tomorrow, which is May 19th. But even for the book signing, we have another event by one of our comrades. We have a video party in regard to the comrade doing a video, music video. We have a party with the people, and they're going to happen at 1:30. Well, my book signing is at 4 o'clock. And right now, we're about to have the grand opening of our restaurant called Tail Feather. Open at 10 o'clock p.m. for 6 o'clock p.m. in the morning. They're going to be open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know, and what I want to say is that, like John Clark said, whatever you do best, do it for the people. That was what John Clark said, and that will be at John Clark this year, right now in particular. That's what we call it. You know, and I'm going to say one more thing. Just do the work. Just do the work. Regardless of what people say, what people do, what your concern is, what your situation, just do the work. Don't worry about what other people do. Worry about what you're doing to make the condition better. Worry about you to make yourself better. Do the work in general. Self-work, then put yourself first, then do the work in your family, do the work in the community, do the work in your nation, and be ready to be you. Let's get it. Free line.
By any and all means necessary. That last point really definitely stands out for me because I definitely agree on that part about just doing the work. Right before we leave, we do have another caller that would like to ask a question. So go ahead, caller. I'm going to open up your line if you can ask your question real quick. I believe they have left the broadcast, unfortunately. So Brother Bumani, he has left the broadcast. Let's see if he comes back. Okay. Caller 229-7056. I have your line open if you can ask your question real quick. 7056, your line is open.
Peace. My name's Simba. I just want to let the brother know I appreciate his work. I wanted to know exactly what was the location of the book signing and the location of the restaurant.
Okay, the location of the book signing and all the other things I mentioned, the restaurant opening, the book signing, the video showing. You know, we also opened a dance academy up this weekend as well called Engoma Academy. The location is 2513 Dawson Street, Columbus, Georgia, 31904. That's the location. 2513 Dawson Street, Columbus, Georgia, 31903. And our building called the Embassy. When you come outside, you're going to see the building. You're going to see the Embassy sign and symbol, which is the Africa coming out of the fire state. You're going to see the new African flag, the parent flag around the building. You see all the other flag, African flag for the diaspora on both sides of the building. You'll know what's up. That's up. You're also going to see another sign that says People Out of Independence. And you're going to see now we're ready to do the work. So, you know, this happening at tomorrow, the video showing party happening at 1:30 tomorrow, and the book signing happening at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And the restaurant opens tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. And the Engoba Academy open Saturday and Sunday. I don't remember the time, but it opens Saturday and Sunday. But you can find out more about it on our Facebook and Twitter page, People Out for Independence, or contact me directly.
If you could also, if in case anyone wants to find your book, where can they find your book at if they're not able to get a copy in person?
Well, they can contact me personally, you know what I'm saying, because my book is self-published, so I'm not going through any kind of third party, second party, even the second party. I'm the only party. You contact me directly. And I'll get the book to you. You contact me on social media, on Facebook. You contact me on Facebook, Bumani Shakir, Twitter, Instagram. You contact me through Georgia University. You contact me through the Bring Up Public Africa. So those are very mean to contact me. The Ministry of Information Prison and Cover Public Africa. I'm also the Vice Chancellor of Georgia University. And y'all can contact me, People Out of Independence, while I'm missing information as well. You know, you can contact me through them various means.
All right. If you don't have any more questions. Yes, for you, you did answer our question. You said you had another question?
No more questions. I don't have any more.
Okay, go ahead, brother. Go ahead with the question.
No, sir, I said I don't have any more questions.
Okay. I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate all y'all calling. Join the course, asking to join it all. I appreciate that.
Okay, yes, I have one question. Is this going to be a weekly call, a weekly radio show?
Yeah, Georgia Radio. We've been doing Georgia Radio since December 17, 2014. It's been a weekly thing since 2014. So we pushing real strong for 9 years, December. And this is a weekly thing, monthly thing that we've been doing since 2014. Yes, sir. And all the shows that we did since 2014 can you listen to on Blog Talk, www.blogtalk.com/GeorgiaRadio. All the cult shows are recorded, you can listen to them. All the back shows, you can listen to them. Even after this show is over with, you can listen to this show as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
No doubt. I appreciate you, good bro.
All right. Well, before we go,
okay. I want to say I appreciate you, because I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? For hosting this show, I appreciate you working on Dead in the past, the present, and we appreciate what you're gonna do in the future. I'm gonna say long in the resistance. Long in the
likewise,
gorilla.
Comrade. Likewise, I appreciate you having me tonight here. Hosting tonight to, you know, have this discussion with you. If those who don't know, I don't always come on here to host the show, but I wanted to make sure that I supported our brother and good comrade in this endeavor. So it's been a pleasure to be here tonight, although it's way past my bedtime. So I'm definitely here, a little struggle, but making it work. But it was definitely a great conversation tonight. I learned a lot. I'm looking forward to continuing to connect. The book itself is definitely a great read. I encourage everyone to go out and get the book if you can. It's definitely you know, something that I'm consistently thinking about in regards to the way I think about what it means to be in struggle. Lands and independence and liberation for our people, and I yield on that. And so I hope everyone has a good night. Again, thank you for all the callers to call in, comrade. It's been a pleasure having you on tonight to discuss your book. And I'll leave everyone with that. Free the land, by any and all means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Peace.